There's a conference or a seminar in Auckland this weekend. It's called Resurrected from the Dead, and the lead speaker used to be one of those. Sounds a bit gothic, really, but it's not. It's more biblical, and the Pentecostals of Auckland, Southside Pentecostal Fellowship and Cornerstone Chapel are hosting this. We've got some details on the Home Run page if you would like to go there. The man in question who is hosting the conference is the Reverend Lee Stoneking, who was, in fact, resurrected from the dead, and he joins us in the studio, which is quite novel. Lee, good afternoon. Nice to have you with us.
Rob, I'm delighted to be with you folks, and I want to say at the outset of this particular interview, it is a total, absolute miracle from God that I'm alive, because I was pronounced clinically dead for 45 minutes. There was no breath, and there was no heartbeat. On November 12th, 2003, I was in Sydney, Australia, doing an annual crusade that I've done there for many years, and the pastor dropped me off at the airport, and we always have a quick breakfast or an early brunch before I depart, and just standing in the restaurant, looking in the menu on the wall, I tip my head back and just look at the very top line on the menu, and I, without warning, I fell instantaneously dead with a massive heart attack.
Tipped your head back and kept going.
Yes, yeah. I just fell straight backwards, and my head hit the cement floor very, very hard, and I had a very serious brain concussion. They used CPR, they did resuscitation, and they also did electric shock treatment to the heart. I understand that in Australia, they only do that four times. In America, they do it three times, but they shock my heart 10 times. The first shock was at 200 watts. Nothing happened. So they turned it up to 360 watts, and nine times more, they shocked my heart. And when they send the electric current to the human body, what happens is your feet come off the floor, and then your head will go back and just beat the floor like a jackhammer. And my question was, why didn't they put something between my head and the floor? But they're so desperate to get the heart to beat and to get you breathing that they don't think about things like that. So there was very serious brain concussion.
But it didn't work, though.
No, nothing they did worked. And finally, a year later, after God so miraculously raised me from the dead, I spent some time, 3 hours, with the ambulance driver. And I said, Nigel, what happened when you shocked my heart? Because you're the only one that would know. You're the one that took care of me. He said, well, Lee, he said, every time I shocked your heart would beat 3 or 4 times and just stop. He said, nothing happened. Nothing worked. I said, well, Nigel, you're the only one that would know. When did my heart begin to beat? When did I begin to breathe? He said, Lee, it was not until you were on the stretcher in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. I said, well, then, Nigel, I was clinically dead longer than what they thought. He said, Lee, you were dead at least 45 minutes. He said, there was nothing. You were slated DOA, dead on arrival at the hospital. The paperwork was completed. There was no hope for you. He said, but suddenly, he said, your heart began to beat and you began to breathe. And, Rob, what I wanted to tell him was, you know, God was just trying to tell you he didn't need your help. He could do the job alone.
Yeah, got my own little zapper there, Nigel, thanks.
But I didn't think he'd understand that. But you and I understand that here today.
All right, well, let's go outside that incident and let's go back a while. So you're a Pentecostal pastor. You've pastored churches. You're a Pentecostal evangelist. You're used to working in the miraculous.
Yes.
You've done that for many, many years.
This
is why you're in Australia in the first place.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, in the middle of this ministry that's working, that's being effective, God says, right, enough. Why?
I've given a lot of thought to this, and I've had some very outstanding Christians, great men and women of God, prophesy to me and give me some, what I feel is spiritual insight. For my own answer, I would say that, Rob, I've prayed for 43 years to be mightily and powerfully used by God. I just love people. I want to help people. And I will stoop to the lowest or reach to the highest. It doesn't make a difference to me. I just want to help people. But when you pray to be used by God, you have these mental visions of crowds of people, preaching to them, praying for people, people being healed. But when the answer comes from God, It comes with his specifications and his needs. Rarely does the answer look like what you had envisioned in your mind and heart. And so by through this, God has helped to create in America, for example, and also in Alaska and other places in the world, great faith has risen for the miraculous. And I've seen in the last 3 years, thousands of people have been healed of all kinds of sicknesses, from cancer to heart disease to legs have grown. People have blind eyes have opened, deaf ears have heard. So I can say this authoritatively to you today. It's been very traumatic for me, of course, but I'm glad that it happened because there are people now in the medical field that would never have known there was a Jesus like this or that there are people like us who live for him the way we do on a daily basis and love him.
Well, that was part of the thing in the New Testament when they saw, you know, Acts chapter 2, when they saw the signs and the miracles and the power of God through the Christians, then they go, wow, there's something true to this.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the weak, wishy-washy Christians that we have around most of the world today.
Because in so many religions, there are religions that have much more religion than we'll ever have. But what they don't have is the demonstration of the Spirit of God in power. The Roman Empire, Christianity, apostolic Christianity in 33 AD through 60, 70, 75 AD, literally totally toppled the Roman Empire because the lions couldn't eat it, the fire couldn't burn it, and the walls couldn't hold it. It was out of control because how do you fight a man that walks up to a tomb where a man's been dead for 3 days and says, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was dead comes walking out of the tomb? You don't fight that. How do you fight a man that steps to the bow of a ship and says to an angry storm, peace be still, and the waves become silent, and the wind becomes quiet? How do you fight a man like that? You don't fight a man like that. How do you fight a man that doesn't even bother to knock at your door? He just slips through the wall and sits down at your table and says, I'm going to have lunch with you today. How do you fight that? You don't fight that. And you cannot fight the demonstration of the Spirit of God in power. This is what converts the heathens. It shook the world in the beginning, and it will shake it at the end.
When you didn't have the classic near-death experience, the tunnel and the light, if I got the story correct, that wasn't part of your experience.
No. Many people have asked me, well, Brother Stone King, what did you see anything? Did you hear anything? I said, no. And the reason is, Jesus knows me too well. I mean, Rob, if I had seen Jesus, if I'd talked to him, if I'd have seen angels, if I'd have seen the holy city, there is no way I would have come back here. I would have pushed to go there.
Yeah, Jesus says, I want you to go back. He said, can I have just one more disobedience, please? No, I'm staying. What changed? I mean, God doesn't just do this for no reason. Yes, he does it so that the people like Nigel, the ambulance officer, can see the power in God. But we know how God works. He also does it at our end. Why did he need to do it for you? Why did he need to do that to Lee Stone King? What was he trying to get your attention with?
It has created an urgency inside of me to reach people like never before. And I've always had a burden for people, and I've done so many things. And I've always been bold, but I've used caution. But since I've been raised from the dead, I've lost the caution. I'm not afraid of anything or anyone. I just do what I know to do in God. And it's incredible the effect it's had on my ministry and those who have heard me.
Yeah, cause what are you going to do to me? Kill me?
And I've said that.
God already done that, you know.
What are you going to do? Kill me? I've already been there, done that. I'm not afraid.
Talk to somebody at the moment who may be going, I'm hearing what you're saying, Lee. I'm hearing what you're saying, but it's just not getting through yet to make a difference in my life. How are you going to make a difference in their life to break through that apathy, the holding back side of things?
I think that when people are exposed to the real power of God, they get into a service, for example, where God is moving. When you really feel the presence and power of God, it cancels out human reasoning and logic. It cancels it out because there is, Rob, nothing like the touch of the Spirit of God when he comes sweeping through a heart and over a mind. the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace, as the songwriter has said, and it's true. Many people have, let me put it this way. Many people know about Jesus, but they don't know Him. I know Him. There's a vast difference. In fact, in the hospital, when I was raised from the dead, and the news spread to the hospital, and I wasn't brain dead, I could speak, and et cetera, et cetera. The staff came in and said to me, they said, "Reverend, the doctors want to talk to you." I said, "Fine." So in a little while, the doctors came in. Rob, they sit down in two folding chairs at the foot of my hospital bed and didn't say one word to me. They just stared at the floor. And I thought to myself, I must be doing something wrong. I'm not cooperating. I want to cooperate. So I sort of raised myself up and looked up, and I said, "Gentlemen," I said, "I want to cooperate. I said, I really want to cooperate. I said, I don't feel well. I didn't sleep real well last night. I sort of had a headache," which was sort of an understatement after all I've been through. But one of the doctors said to me, he said, "Reverend, it has nothing to do with you personally." I said, "Well, what does it have to do with?" He said, "Well, medically, you're supposed to be dead, and you're not, and we don't understand why." I said, "Well, let me ask you a question." I said, "Have either of you ever heard of this man, Christ Jesus from Nazareth?" And they wouldn't answer. So I posed the question again. I said, "Have either of you ever heard of this man, Christ Jesus from Nazareth?" And one of the doctors said, "Yes, yes, we've heard of him." So I became more bold.
We're going to remind the listeners here that we're talking like Australia.
Yes.
We're not talking somewhere in deepest, darkest Africa.
Right.
We're talking some...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I said, "Well, here's..." I said, "So you both admit that you know about him?" They said, "Yes." I said, "Well, here's understanding for you. You know about him, but I know him." And Rob, when I said that, the Holy Ghost swept in that hospital room. Tears began to run down their faces. The Holy Ghost came in that room. I'll never forget it as long as I live. It shook them, because there's no touch like the touch of the Spirit of God. It's not mental. It's not mind over matter. It's the real touch of the Spirit of God.
Did it change them?
Yes, it has. I've talked to both of them since, and one of them cries in America. I reached out for his arm one day. I talked to him personally, privately. I said, "I want to talk to you behind a closed door, just privately." I said, "I don't want anyone interrupting." And he said, "Fine." So